Today we are continuing our study in Thessalonians. Pastor Maggie recently just finished 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is online, so I encourage you all to go onto YouTube or the church website and to listen to that. But today we are going to go ahead and start the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we know from our study in 1 Thessalonians, Paul founded a church during the 3 weeks that he was there in Thessalonica. And as Pastor Maggie mentioned in some of our previous studies, Paul was asked to leave because of the persecution that they were under. They didn't want anything to happen to Paul or to the new church. And after Paul had left, he wrote them, checking on them, seeing how their progress was going and letting them know that he was praying for them. And that he wanted to see them soon. But Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians within a few weeks of writing 1 Thessalonians. He had received news that some of the believers at the Thessalonian church had misunderstood parts of the previous letter in 1 Thessalonians concerning the return of the Lord, and which had prompted the writing of 2 Thessalonians. So let's go ahead and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of the faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, looking back at the first few verses, we see here in 2 Thessalonians, the believers in Thessalonica continue to grow in their faith, love, and endurance in spite of constant persecution they suffered. They grew so much that Paul used them as an example where he was at. Now, I want you to think, could that be said of you? Of you and I, actually, of course. But as the day draws closer to our Lord's return, we know that persecution will increase all the more so. And those who aren't saved will revile us. They will despise us and hate us. They will attack us every way imaginable, physically, mentally, and emotionally. But in the midst of that persecution, we must remind ourselves of the ones who have gone before us, our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, who've already lived through persecution. We have a perfect example here in 2 Thessalonians. This new church, their faith, it grew. Their love for one another grew. They didn't let the trials that they were going through, that persecution, they didn't let it hold them back. And they didn't cower in fear. Instead, they continued to press forward and grow in the Lord. So they didn't allow the trials that they faced to separate them or drive a wedge between their relationships with their church family. with their fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Instead, as I mentioned, their love for one another continued. In fact, it didn't just continue, but it grew. Not only did their love for one another grow, but their faith grew as well. And as we look at verse 5, it says, "Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." The fact that the Thessalonians are increasing in their faith and love while bravely enduring persecution is clear evidence that God is at work in them, preparing them for his kingdom. And one day, the present situation will be reversed. We see that in verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, the persecutors will themselves be the ones to suffer tribulation for eternity. And in verse 7, and it says, "And to give you who are troubled rest, and with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And the persecuted will find rest when Christ returns. So Paul, he assures the believers that we can rest assured that the persecution, the testing and trials we face on this earth are only but for a moment. While the vengeance of God on those who aren't saved, those who are doing the persecuting, their destruction and torment will be for an eternity. Sometimes the wicked are not always punished in this life as we ourselves think they deserve. But God, he is just and he is a legal God. They will stand before him and be judged. They won't escape it. They will have punishment for all eternity. So how do you find yourself responding in the midst of a trial? And how do you think you will respond in the midst of intense persecution? I pray that it would be as though our brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, and even Paul, how they were able to stand in faith, and their love for one another grew, and their faith grew. But I want us to, think about that. So every one of us will go through tough situations where the choices we make either give honor to the Lord or they give a bad testimony of him. We as believers, we must be careful how we respond in those situations. Oftentimes it's so much easier to lash out with our words and quote unquote defend ourselves. But what does the word say? If you turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Just as the scripture we read, Jesus is coming back, and there will be everlasting destruction for those who don't accept him as Lord. And we must be careful how we respond to trials and the trials we face and the persecution that's ahead for us. I know firsthand it's not always easy to take a step back and to bite our tongue. Our first instinct oftentimes is to get back at that person or to defend yourself. But that doesn't always bring honor to the Lord. We have to remember that every person in times past, present, and future will stand before the judgment seat of God and have to give an account for their actions, words, and deeds, believer and unbeliever. And as the times we are living in gets worse, we must be careful as to how we conduct ourselves as well. These letters here, not just these letters particularly that Paul was writing, but the whole Bible, they were written not just for the Thessalonians or the church of that day. It was also written for you and I. Amen. To give us hope and an example, to also encourage us and to guide us in the days ahead. Remember, God has not, he will not forget us. We must not grow weary in the times of persecution, but count it all joy, just as James says in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. Let's go ahead and turn there. James 1, 2 through 6, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." God knows we can't make it through the persecution and trials on our own. That's why he says to come to him and ask. Ask for help. Ask for wisdom. And he will give it liberally, just as we read. He will give you everything that you need in that moment to be able to endure any type of persecution that you may face. Think about Paul when he was chained in prison. What was he doing? He was singing praises to God. Not only that, but he was able to sleep. I think about that, being chained up and sleeping on a rock. It would be so hard to be able to do that, and to, like, just thinking in the natural, like, how would I be able to do that? I know apart from myself, I wouldn't be able to. But he was able to sleep like a baby. Why? It's because he knows he wasn't alone. He had the faith in knowing he wasn't alone in that cell. And if he were to die, he knew without a shadow of a doubt where he was going. Only a heart that is submitted to Christ in all areas of their life will be able to find joy in the midst of persecution. When you're in the midst of a testing, a trial or persecution, whatever it may be, the life that has been in the secret place with Christ will be able to hear the Holy Spirit say, "Step back and pray. Pray for that person, or sing to me. Sing of my praises and thank me. Thank me in all things." You will have the peace Paul had while he was in prison. It's important that you are in the Word now, and find time to be in your secret place with the Lord now, because the days ahead will be hard. You know, we have examples written for us in times past in the Bible, but as times goes on, and as the persecution gets worse, and as the Antichrist soon will be revealed, it's just going to get worse and worse. But you don't want to be found overcome with fear or terror. You want to be able to hear the sweet, tender whispers of the Lord leading and directing you, comforting you, and guiding you in those trials and persecution. We must remember, the suffering and persecution we endure on this earth is but for a moment. We will have all eternity with our Lord. And we must not love our lives to death. If you'll turn to Revelations 12:11. As I was reading through these scriptures, the Lord had spoke just a couple of things to me, you know, about, as I was thinking about what the Thessalonian church was enduring in their persecution, I was like, This is so fitting for the times that we are living in today, because we need to be able to be prepared for what is coming. And we have them as an example. And part of that was, this verse came to me before even I was able to listen to Pastor Maggie's message on the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But anyways, it says, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. So one of the things that the Lord was pointing out to me was that we also need to remember that this earth where we are at, it is not our home. We are just pilgrims passing through. So do you know the feeling that you get when you go to a new state or a new town or even a new country? People often look at you differently. I know for myself, I don't necessarily feel at home, especially like even if you're having to drive in a new place, you're like, I get so nervous. I'm like, okay, I really don't want to drive because I don't know where I'm at. You know, you make sure you're abiding by the speed limit. You're not going over 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. You're not taking shortcuts to get to the store, to get to it faster because you don't know where you're at. And you don't have that sense of comfort of knowing, like, oh, this isn't home. And that's how it is for us. People may look at you differently because you don't have the same accent as them, or you might dress differently, right? So when Paul and I went to Ireland, when you go to the grocery store, we did our research. We did a lot of research. We wanted to know where we were going. But the one thing we didn't know was that when you go to a grocery store, they don't have bags. So we didn't know that we had to bring our own. So we get there and we have a bunch of stuff in our little shopping bag or little basket. We go to check out. And sure enough, they were like, you're not from here, are you? In my head, I was like, what gave that away? It could have been the fact that we didn't have our own grocery bags or the fact that we didn't sound like them, obviously, because we don't have that cool Irish accent. We're American. But anyways, what I'm getting at is that I didn't feel at home. You know, regardless of the fact that, yeah, we had a place to stay where we were there for a couple of weeks. You know, we ventured out and, you know, we did some exploring. It wasn't home. So the point that I'm trying to get at is don't let your heart be tied down to this life and the things here so much that we lose sight of our true home. We are just sojourners passing through. We won't be able to take any of our things, our possessions, with us into heaven. None of it will compare to the riches that we have in heaven and being in the presence of our Savior and our Lord, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. Heaven is our home. That is where our true place will be. That's where we will be able to rest for forever and to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, if you let your heart be ensnared by the things of this life, money, notoriety, possessions, family, you name it, it will pull you under. And as the coming of the Lord draws closer and closer, and the birth pains become more intense, and the Antichrist one day, I'm sure, will soon make his debut, we will have to make a choice to take the mark of the beast or not. If you love your life so much and the way you live so much and the comforts of this life, you will fall into that trap. And the devil, you will fall into the trap of the devil, and you will fall in line with the rest of the world for the quote unquote comfort or for survival and take the mark of the beast. The Lord is telling us, hold on to your possessions loosely, even the comforts of this life and your lifestyles that you live now loosely. Hold on to them loosely. Don't grow so comfortable in this world and call it your home, because it is not our home. Our home is in heaven, and he is coming back soon, soon and very soon. I want to read that last scripture again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Don't love this life to death. And in verses 11 through 11 and 12 in 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, "Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So here we see Paul is telling the Thessalonians that he prays for them. Prayer, especially in the end times, it is so important. It is so vital for your walk with the Lord and for your life. But also, it's one of the best ways that you can express your concern and love for someone by bringing them before the throne of God, especially when it comes to our lost loved ones and friends. Because there are times where your words, where you're speaking to them and you try and do for them, you can only do so much. But God, he is the one who has created them. He knows all things and he works. And he is able to do more for them than you can in your own flesh and in your own efforts. But this verse should also challenge us to pray for one another. We should be praying for each other often. It's not enough just to pray for you and your family. But each and every one of us needs to be praying for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in our church, and those around the world as well. Because, you know, right now, there are brothers and sisters in the Lord who are being persecuted. And it's important that we are praying that their faith would grow and love for the Lord would grow as well. Remember, we are the body of Christ. It's not just going to be you and only you in heaven. You know, it's going to be all of us who have called on the Lord as our Savior, who will be in heaven. We are called to encourage one another and to pray for one another that we may grow in the Lord. But also in these last couple of verses, Paul's desire is that we would pray. But also, it is Paul's desire, and what he prayed, is that our Lord would be glorified in us. This is the end we should aim at in everything we do, in everything we desire and do. Just as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Therefore, whatever you do, eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of our God." Our desires, dreams, and possessions, our lives should be in complete submission to the will of God, our Father, so that the end goal, our lives, would reflect Christ. Our lives should be lived to the glory of God. One writer said it this way, "In a sense, the glorifying of the saints will reflect the glory of the Lord, just as a beautiful painting glorifies the artist. A magnificent building glorifies the architect, and a lovely, fragrant garden glorifies the gardener. So the glorified saints will reflect the glory of the Lord and his wonderful plan of salvation. He will be glorified in his saints." So our lives, the words we speak, and our actions, thoughts, all aspects of our lives should reflect Christ our King. So, but to briefly recap, for our lives to be a reflection of the Lord, remember what the Lord says, vengeance is his. Let's remember to be careful with our words and with our actions and how we respond to trials. And not most importantly, but this is a huge one. I know I fall short in this sometimes. We must remember to pray for one another. We can pray waiting in line, in shower, on a walk, or cooking. That's something that we can do anywhere. Lately, I've been more mindful of turning off the radio, and when I'm taking John to preschool or on my way home, I'm praying instead of listening to the radio. And lastly, as the return of our Lord draws near, let us remember not to love our lives unto death. Let's remember to hold on to these things of this life very loosely, for this is not our home. We are just pilgrims passing through.